This episode is sponsored by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy!
It is a Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists and industry, and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
Hey, do you archive?
Oh yeah, like all this audio will go out. Absolutely. So it'll go out as like one hour, with change, live stream as like one block, but then the actual audio will go out like for each of you individually.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So we'll talk audio. Justin Kaufman, how are you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for it's been a while, and I appreciate the invite, and I'm honored to be here with you, man.
No, I appreciate it. We've been playing like email tag.
I know, right?
Just like so many people in the city, it's like people are. You have a busy schedule, and you're on air every single night of the week. So I could see you being like, "Cool, I'm gonna go do it like a sixth night in a row." So I do appreciate you being out here, man.
No, thanks for having me.
So people can hear you on WGN Radio. Is it every weeknight from 7
it
to 11?
It is. From 7 to 11. It's a show called The Download. Mm-hmm. It's on 7:20 a.m.
Yeah.
It's a talk show. It's 4 hours, Monday through Friday.
Yeah. So there's a lot I want to unpack there. But, like, again, let's start at the beginning. Like, how did, media, broadcast, radio work start for you?
Columbia College guy, of course.
There it is. Yeah.
Represent. I was 19 at Columbia College. I was in the journalism department there, and I reached out to WBEC, which was the NPR station.
Okay.
91.5. And I went in, and they had an interview, which was great. And the guy came in, and he was all hairy. Tom Tuber, who's now a program director in Milwaukee, Madison.
Okay.
And he goes, "Can you cut reel-to-reel tape?" I was like, yeah, I can. This was 1994 or something like that.
He goes, okay.
"Good, you're hired." And he's like, "I get all these book smart guys from Northwestern, University of Chicago, and everybody comes in and they are ready for their NPR internship, but I need someone who can cut tape because I can't keep up." And I'm like, "I can do that. I can't read, but I can do that."
That's how I find my contributors on the podcast. I'm like, "Can you edit audio?" They're like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Great, you're in." Like, that's all I needed
exactly.
to know.
Exactly. So I started there, and I never stopped. I mean, I was there for 20 years, 20-plus years.
Wow,
I ended up being in it. When I left at BEZ, it was an executive producer of talk. So okay. I managed all of the talk staff and did all the shows.
So was that like, was Sound Opinions there at that time?
Yeah.
Or were they
Jim,
still
I was Jim's. I was Jim DeRogatis's editor when his blog site on the Vocalos site. Mm-hmm. I was, a lot of things at BEZ. Everything from 848, which used to be mm-hmm. the old show there, to Morning Shift, to Afternoon Shift, to Worldview, to Vocalo. I mean,
right.
It's just so many different things that I was involved with. That's what great NPR is in Chicago, because you get this opportunity to be involved in a lot of different things.
Well, yeah, NPR in Chicago, BEZ, it really is like a landmark kind of station.
Yeah. It's all Myra Glass. That's where he came from.
Right. Serial's from there, which is huge. Serial, like I always refer to it as like the Smells Like Teen Spirit of podcasting. Because podcasting existed before Serial,
right.
But no one knew about it.
You know, it's funny because everyone thinks This American Life is a podcast.
Right.
Because if you're not from Chicago or, I guess, New York, you think that, hey, that's a podcast I listen to every week. But that was a talk show for before podcasting was even around.
Sure, for a long time.
Yeah, for a long time, almost 10 years.
Yeah.
But Ira is considered to be sort of the father of podcasting, but he was doing radio shows.
Right, it just moved.
It was a perfect, and it's also, I feel like it's kind of unfair only to podcasters because Ira has 9 producers. And they're the top dog producers in all of radio. I mean, Peabody Award winners.
Sure.
So, like, if you're like, "I want to do a podcast, like, I don't know, This American Life." Like, it's about $10 million.
Right. It's together, like entering a foot race against, like, The Flash and Superman and being like, "This will be fair, right?"
Some hardcore journalistic talent on This American Life.
Well, and it's interesting. You mentioned Vocalo. Like, were you involved with that early on?
Because I was,
That's a channel that really, like, has, I think, developed a lot and matured a lot, and it's really doing, I think, very worthwhile work.
It's great. It's such a great idea, and there was a lot of pushback on it at the beginning because everybody assumes they want public radio a certain way. And I don't take any credit for the way that it evolved. Sylvie over there and Jesse Menendez.
Jesse Menendez, great guy.
Yeah, great guy. Yeah. And all those guys have done tremendous work. It's on their watch that they've created something that is actually nationally becoming a model.
Yeah.
There's a lot of public radio stations that don't know how to attract audiences that aren't white people from the affluent areas of Chicago.
Sure.
Or wherever city they're from. They just don't know how to do it. Yeah. So whenever they try to do anything that might be to different communities, minority communities, it just sounds like, it doesn't sound like the communities.
Right.
And so Vocalo was an experiment. I give Tori Malatia, who was the GM at the time, same guy who did This American Life, a lot of credit for starting that and thinking outside of the box to say it has to sound like, it has to be authentic. It can't be, we're public radio, and now we're from Inglewood. Great to see you. Like, you can't do that. That's you know, no one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear that.
Yeah.
And so they did a great job, and they've got great talent on it. So.
And I think you nailed it. Authenticity is the word.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the key in anything. I mean, like, moving over to GN from BEZ, I mean, I came in because I get an asterisk on my name. It's a good trivia question for radio or Chicago media. Who replaced the Cubs on WGN radio?
Oh, my God. So Justin, that's not
Justin Kaufman did, right? The GN lost the Cubs. They didn't lose them. They stopped the contract on the Cubs a couple of years ago. They gave it to whoever's got it, CBS now.
Sure.
And so that time slot opened up. And they're like, well, we got to put something in there. And they thought, well, why don't we do something a little bit more NPR-like?
Right.
Where we do a little more talk show, a little bit more interview style as opposed to, you know, talk formats that are just taking calls, talking about the president.
Sure.
So for me, it was a perfect fit for me to move from BEZ, which does that, and move into. And then when you go over to GN, you realize that's a Chicago staple.
It's
maybe the last in the country that does live local 24/7. I mean, you can't find that anywhere where it's like the actual, there is no syndicated programming on WGN.
Well, and that was one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is that, like, looking at what you do with the download, it seems like old school radio.
Yeah.
I come from radio. I worked at Q101 for 13 years, and I remember radio being still local. And I'm sure that there are people older than me who would look at Q101 and say, that's not local. But I worked on the Chicago music show that was literally called Local 101.
No, Q101 was extremely local.
But it's like, I feel like that has gone away a lot.
Yeah.
By and large in radio, like, you turn on, like, you know, iHeart stations, and look, I'm not coming for any individuals who work for those stations or any on-air talent, but it doesn't feel local. It doesn't feel
connected. And it's not designed to almost.
Sure,
I mean,
of
it's
course.
Cookie cutter. It's someone in a tower in New York has made a decision on what the format's going to be, and the talent that's in Chicago has to execute it.
Right.
You know, it's not. It might be, you know, Tom and Joe in the morning, but there's Tom and Joe in every market.
Right.
And so for Chicago, I mean, I say at the top of my show every night, download is a show about Chicago starring those who know it well. Like, that's it. So, and that automatically makes people go, all right, well, I'm going to just assume this is a show about Chicago, and we'll go from there.
Well, and I think your show is interesting because it does feel a little bit to me, and maybe this is my podcast slant coming through, but it feels like it's designed a little bit like a podcast.
Yeah,
it's very segmenty, you know, where it's like, you're going to be talking to this person at this time and this group at this time, and here's this topic. And again, it does feel like that kind of like classic 90s radio approach.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I learned at BEZ, but it's also something that you take from podcasts and you also take from television and other. And
sure.
This idea that, you know, you expect something at a certain time every night.
Right.
And, you know, they do that. I mean, the best radio stations that make the most money are the ones that can tell you they're going to do something on a specific minute.
Right.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's
traffic and weather on
traffic
the,
and weather at a certain time, at the eights, the fives, the threes, whatever, and they hit it every single time.
And it sticks in your head.
It sticks in your head,
you know,
and
it is.
The ratings, you know, reflect it. They're way above and beyond. It becomes utility to people. They know it's 8:03 and they're like, I gotta be here to check this whatever they told me to check, right?
I know. I would be in the car with my mom and she'd be listening to some like super staticky AM whatever. And I'd be like, why are we listening to this? She goes, well, traffic's coming up in a minute, and I'm like,
right.
All right, okay. And then it would come on, and it'd be like...
So if you took that same concept and you say, okay, so every night at 8 o'clock, WGN's going to have a segment called The Big Table where a celebrity or a newsmaker or an artist is going to sit down for an hour.
Right.
Or do like a Terry Gross Fresh Air type approach to a Chicago person for an hour, and you could expect that every night at a certain time. And it's branded that way, and the music's similar. It does go a long way for people recognizing what you do and how you do it.
Well, and so this is one of the big things I wanted to ask. 4 hours. 4 hours is a lot of time.
Yeah, it's a ton, man.
I do this podcast once a week for 1 hour. And I'm certainly not complaining, but that is an amount of work.
Yeah.
4 hours every single weeknight, every week. How do you keep up with that? Like, how do you approach filling up that time?
it, I mean, the number one thing we try to do, Pete Zimmerman, who's a longtime radio guy, used to produce Doll. Mm-hmm. He would Chirp as well.
Oh, yeah. And Chirp's doing great.
Yeah. He produces the show and it, with me. And I'm a longtime producer. I was a producer. I know how to produce daily talk radio. That's mm-hmm. something that's like, once you learn that skill, you can do it.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't know. I feel like we try, on top of doing 4 hours, we try our darnest to have no fill.
Right.
There's no banter. There's no, you know, for an hour, we're just going to talk about what's in the news.
The Bachelor.
Yeah, right. And I did talk about The Bachelor on Friday. I don't want to make that.
Okay.
But that's the idea. The idea being that we really want to, so it does put a lot of pressure on us. And I like it. I don't mind it. But it's, I drop my son off at school at 9 in the morning mm-hmm. or 8:30, whatever, when CPS starts.
Right.
And then I come home, I make coffee, and I start. And it's a full day's work into it. Because I also do a monologue at the top of the show that's kind of like a three-pager of what's in the news today. It's called The Carryout, where mm-hmm. that's something where these are my thoughts on observations and what's happening in Chicago. So that takes time to put together. You know, there's probably about 7 segments a night.
And that's a lot. And it's you're a ton, booking but, a ton of guests, yeah. and you're getting good guests.
Yeah.
Like, are you sending those emails? You got, like, a team, like...
It's just 2 of us, yeah. and like coming up this week, I'm psyched. We got coming up on Wednesday, David Koechner's on, which is cool. David Koechner from Anchorman, he was
in The Office, right?
Yeah,
he's Todd Packer. Yeah, okay, yeah,
he's
yeah.
a Chicago guy. He's from Chicago, and that's the key. You know, I've done 20 years of talk radio in any form. You become a master of all, or a jack of all trades, master of none.
Right,
right. I'm not an expert on any of these topics. But I know enough about them to be able to get, and I also know about this, like everybody who's on our panel tonight, you know how to get at whoever's making news.
Right.
A lot of times it's just about contacting the right people and having the and luckily you get a little bit of a reputation where they're like, oh, this is good media.
Right.
This isn't going to be a gotcha type thing. This isn't going to be someone who's not prepared.
Sure.
You should do it. Like the city of Chicago has been a tough nut to crack. Like, it's always a tough nut to crack when you're dealing with politicians, right? Mayors and aldermen, right. things like that. But I found over the 2.5 years of doing the show that it's becoming easier. They're ready to come on because they know it's going to be a valuable experience for them.
Yeah, I mean, something I get from having done this podcast for so long, and like you, I come from being a producer.
Right.
I was behind the scenes at Q101. I wasn't really on the air there. But when I interview people, I do research.
Right.
I don't even do 9 hours of research, but I do, I think, basic research just so I know who I'm talking yeah. to. And it's so sad how many guests will, after the mic's off, be like, thanks so much for knowing what you're talking about. And I'm like, oh, my God, are people not doing that?
Exactly.
But apparently that's a thing that, like, is a lost art and actually means something.
Well, you know? It's also formats and what you can and how long you can talk to somebody. But,
yeah.
but you know, I would say being a producer first before you're a host should be a prereq.
Yeah,
because you get to a certain point where you learn the discipline of it. Because mm-hmm. I'd have to prep a host ever. I'd have to prep somebody on the subject. I need to know the subject to be able to give the NPR
sure.
way. The NPR way of doing prep is extremely exhausting. Like it's the kind of thing where you're doing pre-interviews. There's questions. You get to the end of the day as a producer, and you're like, damn, why don't I just do the interview?
Right.
Why am I passing right. this thing along? I've already spent 3 hours on doing it. Like that's the
yeah.
expectation. So when I was able to get this gig and be a host. I'm like, well, here I am. I know how I created the system in which to pre-interview and put all this stuff together.
Right.
And so now I just have to execute it on my own to be the host. And that comes with just timing and everything else as a performer. But, yeah, I mean, it gives you a lot of – you get this ability to be comfortable with your guest,
mm-hmm.
to be able to get to a point where they know you know what you're talking about, and they'll be – more open to you asking questions that are challenging or pushing beyond whatever they're there to talk about.
Yeah. Well, and so in doing the type of radio that you're doing, do you feel like, was that what, I mean, I think you kind of covered this, but was that what GN was looking for? Were
yeah.
they like, hey, do this kind of show? Because it is kind of a lost art. It is
well,
there are
I
not
mean,
as many shows like that on the air anymore.
There was a guy on WGN. GN is a pretty great history lesson. All
sure.
the people who used to work on GN were, at certain points in Chicago media history, the top.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Collins and Wally Phillips, they're like, there are still listeners who listen to WGN who be like, you'll never be Wally Phillips. Like, it's,
well, sure, if you're on SNL, like, I don't you're know not going to be Bill yeah. Murray, but, yeah. like, doesn't mean you shouldn't go...
There's yeah. There was a guy on at night named Milt Rosenberg, and Milt Rosenberg was a University of Chicago guy, Hyde Park guy, who would do this kind of radio through the 80s and 90s, maybe 70s, 80s, and 90s. And at a certain point, I think, when they made some changes at the Tribune, and they changed up, and they brought in Howard Stern's old PD, they forced him out, like, so they could do some stuff at night that was more shock jockey.
As happens in radio.
As happens. But I think GN realized at a certain point when the Cubs went away that they're like, that worked, and right. that is a great nighttime format. You can do interesting, curious, experimental things at night because money is not on the line.
Right.
It's a very simple thing.
It's not
thing.
Drive time.
If you're in drive time and you are one of the highest paid people to it's about more than half of the job, and it's a tough job, is keeping the trains running on time.
Sure.
Is making sure you hit that traffic at the right time. The second part is being entertaining in two-minute chunks.
Right.
That I know so many people, I'm one of them, from my days in comedy, of being like making fun of people who do drive time. You know,
right.
but it's amazing. That's a skill I've never been able to master. And
yeah.
it's a skill I don't think a lot of people can do. That you have to be able to, give the essence of who
yeah.
you are in a minute and a half.
Right.
You get a person on a line. You know, you get David Koechner for a minute and a half.
Right.
And then you're out.
And you got to make it count.
Yeah, you got to make it count, and you can't miss on that stuff. And I filled in a couple times, and I'm like, I mean, I will get comfortable. I'll be like, okay, so tell me about, we're out of time?
Right.
All right, we're out of time. Sorry, let's get to the traffic. And, you know, it's hard. I those are the top people in radio for a reason. They have created a skill.
Yeah, I was fortunate that, like, at Q101, I got to, like, I worked with Chris Payne on the weekends,
yeah.
and then I got to see guys like Tim Virgin and Sludge, who were just drive time, you know, they were dynamic.
It's a different skill, man. It's something that, I mean, it's amazing to me. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Ro Khan is on in the afternoons with Anna DeVellantes, and watching them do their show and how they have to move from things to thing, it's intense.
Now, something else I think is really cool about GN is that you guys have sound sessions. You have
mm-hmm.
Michael Heidemann, who...
Kevin, those guys are great.
Yeah, and in my mind, like, that's like a newer... talent, and I don't mean that in any dismissive way, but like he's newer on the scene, and I think he is continuing a lot of that great tradition of all the things we're talking about.
Yeah,
and I think that's great about GN that like you guys have that kind of programming, like not just now, but like also developing as the next wave.
Well, Todd Manley, who's the boss there, and he's spent time at XRT and some other places.
Right.
He is really into. He understands digital. He WGN Plus is the podcast network. He's always thinking, he knows that, you know, part of our programming, a big chunk is for the air, but a lot of it is for, like, I'm a great example. I'm hired in this way to be both. I'm hired to be someone who does 4 hours live at night, and I'm also someone who the next morning it's there for you to consume. And,
right.
and I have a strong audience at night, and I have a strong audience on podcasts, and they're different.
But it's like you kind of got to make a pizza that's as good in the moment as it is the next
yeah.
morning.
Oh, my God. And you know, it's funny because one of the things, and it's a very select few people, they get really kind of bent out of shape when I tape something.
Really?
I tape a lot of my, I don't know, a lot, but I will tape because people can only do it in the afternoon.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I know.
So
that.
You know how
yeah.
that goes. So, like, trying to get a celebrity to come on at 9 o'clock at night, you're like,
good
all right,
luck.
Well, how about 4? And they're
right.
like, all right, I come in before I leave town or whatever. So then you do that, and then you air it. And they have, at GN, they have web cameras. It's kind of an outdated, I'm kind of in the middle of an existential crisis on it because I really don't like it. But they webcam kind of like the old Howard Stern where it was just like kind of see it. But they don't really, they don't curate it. So it's just a live feed. And so half the time, you know, you'll be done with your segment. And you'll be like, thanks. And you're like, oh, good to see you. Good to see you. And it's just a shot of like my crotch standing up into the shot. Or you'll be sitting there like, waiting for the news.
Right.
And check your phone, and you're on camera.
Yeah.
And you're live to a broadcast in the thousands. And it you realize quickly that you're like, this is not a great way to approach media, live media. But that, people get out, they get bent out of shape because I'll say, David Koechner's coming up, you know, and then I'll go, welcome back to Download David Koechner, great to see you. But it's taped.
Right.
He ain't there. And so they're like, where's David Koechner? What? Shit. Oh, I'm going to text. I got to text right now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell these guys what's up.
Oh, God. I remember that, though. I remember when you would try to book somebody, and it's like they're available, you know, Friday at 9 a.m. You're like, well, our show is Sunday at 9, so great. We'll make it work.
I'm not of the – there's no – media is media, and like I said, different audiences, you know, consume it at different times. Taped, right. Live, doesn't matter. The idea that it needs to be sort of like an old 1980s, it has to be in the moment right here, right now, is kind of canceling out the idea that we now have this technology to move things around and time shift and all this stuff. So I don't really buy it. But
no, absolutely.
Again, we're talking about a select group of people saying, in my day.
Right. But and you brought up WGN Plus, and I think it is really cool that you guys have this podcast network you're developing with the station. And also, you've done the Download Live, correct?
I have.
As a live podcast, radio,
well,
whatever.
They have this thing called, I'm doing one in Berwyn next week, but that's more through, like, they every month you have to do a remote.
Okay.
You go to a different bar, you know, so it's like Bavarian. It's like a Oktoberfest.
Okay.
It's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be fun out there. Get an Oompa band out there.
Yeah.
Hold
the remotes
out
are fun.
The barrel.
Radio remotes are fun.
The what I've been doing though is Cards Against Humanity, Max Temkin and I created this show that is the Download Live on stage, and that is in front of an audience in a space, and it's more like a live show.
Right.
Where there's an audience and there's going to be sketch, there's going to be live music. We did a couple pilots, and the first one we're doing live, actually simulcast, like in front of the audience and live on the radio, is coming up here in October. But we had with Taylor Bennett, which is...
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he did five songs.
He's great.
The Smoking Popes, they did it live. They were elect. I mean, we set them up, and yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like that kind of stuff where I can bring those kind of celebrities in front of people, and they can do something of value and quality to an audience. It's like, oh man, I got to see the Smoking Popes perform five songs.
Right. Well, and Cards Against Humanity, like, a lot of people don't know this, but Cards Against Humanity, you know this, but for everyone else, like, Cards Against Humanity has an office in Chicago. They're based out of Chicago. They don't really advertise that. They certainly don't advertise the building. It's a very plain-looking building.
It's a nondescript on Elston, yeah.
Yeah, and they have a podcast studio there, a very extensive, expensive, like, very well...
Yeah.
Made podcast studio, and they also have like this black box theater where they do live events. So that's
Onion
a really
does
great
stuff
partner.
Out of there. The Hello from the Magic Tavern does stuff out of that podcast studio
because they have that Chicago Podcast Co-op. We're part of that with Dynasty Podcast.
I just feel like, you know, what they're doing there is beyond the obviously beyond the card game, but they have an opportunity to make an immersive experience for all creative arts, and they. Max and his crew do that. They do that regardless.
Yeah,
so.
And they have a great team. Yeah. I work a lot with Alex Cox there, so shout out Alex Cox. But yeah, Cards Against Humanity, like, that's a great partner to have for that kind of thing.
I mean, it's all about, for me, it's branding, right?
Right, yeah.
So
what's coming up for you now? Like, you obviously have this incredible history with radio, with, you know, with the live version of this, and all this great experience, like, where do you go from here? Where do you want to take the program going
well,
forward?
I mean, I love the live thing. The live thing is great, and to be able to do more of that. The fall, the one thing about the job, which is great and not so great, is that the Blackhawks are on. Yay.
Okay.
Everyone loves the Blackhawks, and I love it. But when they play, I don't do a show. And so when their schedule starts up, coming up here in a couple weeks, it would be a Tuesday night, I get it off. My family loves it. I love it, too. I get a night off. But I also, like, you get a little bit of, like, sputter.
Right.
When you're used to doing it all summer, every night, Monday through Friday, you get kind of addicted to it. And then you find yourself kind of sputtering when you have to break like that.
Yeah.
So, but for me, I mean, I have a lot of things going on right now. I mean, I'm very excited to be working on a couple of different projects. I was in a group called Schadenfreude, which is a sketch group in Chicago, and our 20th anniversary is coming up next year.
Oh my God, wow.
And that's going to be awesome because we're thinking about, everyone's all over the coast, like Kate's in New York and Sandy's in Toronto and Adam's in LA and everyone's all over the place, but we're all going to get back together and we're thinking about doing a festival of some sort. Like, we were part of a 90s comedy scene that a lot of the people are now, you know, on top of the world. Like Seth Meyers is a good example of a guy who was in that comedy scene in Chicago, Jason Sudeikis.
So kind of like the State was in New York,
absolutely.
Where like those guys went on to go do like everything. And not that many people really knew about the State, but if like I was the right age where like I loved the State, and then like my whole life I've just been like, oh, there's Thomas Lennon, there's Michael Ian Black, but like, so
well,
that
Chicago
kinda, like,
in the 90s specifically for comedy. I mean,
sure.
A lot of people don't recognize Upright Citizens Brigade. They're from Chicago. I mean, they started
Stephen
here
Colbert
and they
had time here.
They did all that stuff here before they moved to New York. So I feel like you know, it was a great, amazing time to be in comedy in the mid to late 90s. That was Tina Fey was on stage at Second City, and we just met a lot of great people, and a lot of great people are entertaining us now. So instead of just doing a 20th anniversary show where it's like, hey, we're on stage. Remember these sketches? Remember when we were younger? Remember when I used to rip my shirt off? Oh, how fun. We're now 40. Cool. Right. No, we're not going to do it. Like, instead, we might try to do something that's a little bigger. So that's a lot of fun. We're getting ready to sort of take that on.
Right on. That's awesome.
That'd be cool for Chicago. It's all about Chicago in that respect.
Well, and I love that about your show, that it is very hyper-local. And I love that the conversation is authentic, you know.
It's a big ass city, man. I know we said it's a small city, and that is true in certain situations, especially media. But you know, I'm also to the point where it's amazing to be able to go through every night and realize, even here at the Virgin and other places right around, where you're like world class people coming through, authors.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, the Chicago Humanities Festival is about to begin. Mm-hmm. They come through, and there's just like 15, 20 of the smartest people in the world will be in Chicago. So it's like, sure. You just have to be on top of that, and then they'll come on with you. They will. That's been the key. The WGN brand, for some reason, is bigger than the brands I've worked for in the past. So when I say GN, mostly to Hollywood, like to Hollywood, if you said, yeah, I'm with WBEZ, they're like, get in line. We got a big line of people. But WGN, they're like, oh, WGN. I know WGN. I'm from Chicago. Oh, Superstation, yes.
Yeah, I grew up watching that, listening to that.
Interview here. You know,
that's like, great.
It's amazing. It's amazing to have that. So that's
the legacy brand.
Yeah, the legacy brand helps out for booking, for sure.
Well, again, this has been awesome. And
yeah,
I definitely want
us,
to come out to the next Cards Against Humanity event.
Yeah. Because
I love those guys. And like, it just sounds like a cool concept.
Yeah. I'll let you know. It's October 13th.
Awesome.
All right, man.
I love it, man. Justin Kaufman, again, we were playing email tag across the year because it's like, you're a busy guy. I'm really glad we were able to line this up, man. Thank you so much for coming up.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate
it. Pleasure.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcast. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.